The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Got your Bible? Romans 11:33. And my Bible says this is a doxology. I had to look that up. It means a hymn. It means that what we're about to read was literally written as a worship song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to spare you that. But he writes this, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out." He's just talking about how awesome God is. "Who has known the mind of the Lord or become his counselor?" In other words, who's smart enough to tell God what he needs to do? "Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be the glory forever. Amen." Now, there's a lot in that, and you can read some other translations and get some different variations. I'm not going to go there today reading on that, but I just want to point it out. The writer of Romans is setting his mind on the awesomeness of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, the grace of God, the favor of God. I want to teach you something if you didn't know this. In your Bible, those chapter numbers and verse numbers, originally, they're not there. They're not part of the Word of God. They're put there to just help us find our place. That's all. So there's really no break between this verse, which they labeled 36, and the next verse, which they labeled 12:1. So we're going to read it that way. So we're thinking about this. We're thinking about the awesomeness of God and the wonder of God, and his wisdom and his knowledge and his goodness, and that everything exists through him and by him and for him. Now bring up that next verse, which happens to be 12:1. You got to keep the thought going, because it starts with what word? It starts with the word therefore. Well, you can't start with therefore, because you got to stop and go, what's that there for? When you read therefore, it's there for a reason, and it's there to tell you that what you're about to read is inseparably linked to what you just did read. In other words, it's a continuous train of thought. You can't separate it. You cannot say, "I urge you in view of God's mercy," when you didn't stop and look at God's mercy. See, that what was in front of that was reminding us of how good God is, how awesome God is, how wonderful God is. And then he goes, now thinking about that or in view of that, offer your bodies, or your life would be a really good way to say it, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, not a dead one, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your truly spiritual act of worship. Spiritual means led of the Spirit. What's the best way the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to worship? We're going to worship with loud music and whatever. I like to worship with loud music, right? But the highest form of worship that is promoted and provoked by the Holy Spirit, the highest form of worship is when you and I offer ourselves to God a continuous living sacrifice. You know, to me, it's easy to come and come into a church service or whatever and surrender yourself to the Lord again. I do it. I surrender to the Lord all the time. I don't try to get saved again. I'm saved as I'm ever going to get, and I'm not going to ever get unsaved. But that's because of his grace and his mercy and me responding to it. But I'm going to keep surrendering to the Lord, trying to offer myself to him a living sacrifice. You know what that means? That means the way I live is an offering to God. Now, if we were taking an offering in a basket, I could bring something good and put it in the basket, or I could bring something not good and put it in the basket. It's kind of like that with my life. The way I'm living is an offering unto God. But here's my question. What is it that really determines how I live my life? I'll just be real frank about it. How come some people believe this is fine, and this is okay, and this is good, and other people don't believe that those very same things are fine and good and okay? And it's because they see the world very differently. There are a lot of people in the world who don't see the world the same way as we do, or I do, or whatever. You know, this is my lens right here. The Word of God, everything in my life gets filtered through this What does God have to say about it? Now, I know you say this, and they say that, and I think this. We've all got opinions. We've all got trash cans, too, don't we? When they're washed out and clean, they're nice. When not, they stink, right? I filter everything that comes my way. Every piece of news I get, every new thing that comes down the pike, every old thing that comes, I don't care. I'm going to filter it through here. I'm going to go, well, you know, they said, well, times is changing. I'm like, well, I know times is changing, but what about this? Some people call our society today a postmodern society. You gotta look up stuff to even know what that means. They say we're living in a postmodern society. What they mean by that is they mean that in our modern society that principles and teachings and wisdom from days past, including, not limited to, but including the Bible, that's so archaic. It has nothing to do with life today. I mean, we're modern people. We have understanding those people didn't have. Really? He said, I urge you, Word of God, I urge you in view of God's mercy. In other words, thinking about God's mercy. If you can't see God's mercy in it, you're not going to see it right. I'm going to give this to you. I didn't know when this would happen. Right at the end of early worship, the Lord spoke this to me. He said, write this down, share it. Never mistake God's grace and mercy for God's approval. There are a lot of things in my life, your life too probably, I can only speak for me, that I think there are times that I'm doing things that maybe God is just being merciful. It's not necessarily exactly the way He would have me to do it. But because of His mercy and grace, it doesn't blow up in my face. Fair enough? But don't ever mistake His grace and mercy for His approval. Go back to the instruction manual. Once you're saved and living for Christ and you're trying to do right, whatever, it's not the great big old things that's going to blow you up. The Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. They can't reach up there where the grapes are, but they can dig around at the root. And we've got to be careful about guarding our foundation. Because if my foundation cracks, my whole house will fall apart. Did you get that? You know, if your foundational beliefs, if your worldview gets broken, your world is going to get broken. How many know we live in a broken world? We're here as salt and light. Salt changes the flavor of what it touches. If I'm not salty enough to change the flavor around me, then I'm not quite doing things God's way. Amen? If I don't have enough light in my life to expose any darkness, then I'm not quite doing things God's way because we're called to be salt and light. So he says, I urge you in view of God's mercy, God's awesomeness, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. So what, I asked the question a while ago, I'm going to circle back to you on that. I wish that person would preach what I'm preaching instead of what they preach. I'm going to just ask this question, why do they preach what they preach? The answer, because of the view they have of the world. And the view they have of the world is determined by how they think. You say, well, it's determined by what they believe. No, what they believe is determined by how they think. It's not the other way around. I want to get at this viewing. He said, in view of God's mercy. Well, we can't lose sight of God's mercy, but we don't want to use God's grace as a cloak for sin. Scripture talks about that. So don't ever mistake, once again, don't ever mistake God's grace and mercy for God's approval. I don't want you to just sort of do it my way, kind of do it my way, or do it some way that I'm not even about at all, and then ask me for mercy. I want you to do it my way. Grace and mercy will cover for a lot of things, but it won't cover it completely. Whatsoever thing a man sows, that shall he reap. When you sow to please the Holy Spirit, you reap life everlasting and eternal life and the good things of God. But if you sow to please the flesh, you're going to reap destruction. So continuing here, what is it that determines how I live my life? Let's look at the next verse. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There are a lot of people in our world today looking at transformational change, but it's not their mind they're looking to get transformed. But that's what needs to get transformed, right? A person come to the place where they believe they were born into the wrong body, and they just say, well, you know what? I want to be transformed. I want to make the image of what I look like fit the image of what I feel like on the inside, but they don't realize that the whole thing is about their thought life and their belief system. If their thought life was different and their belief system was different, they wouldn't ever, ever feel the way they feel. I don't deny that they feel a certain way. I mean, their feelings are real. But I'm saying that the answer is not outward transformation. The answer is inward transformation. Amen? And we don't condemn anybody. Every one of us probably have things, and I know I have had things because the Lord straightened me plumb out on a lot of the ways I thought about things. That, man, I've had some ways where I was completely backwards of what God actually said. I just thought it was this way. God said it was that way. Once my thinking come around, I was like, yeah, absolutely. Man, amazingly enough, God's been right all along. Woo, who would have thought that? Don't conform any longer. Conform means to be pressured. Don't let the world tell you how to dress, how to look, how to do your hair, how to talk, what pronouns to use. We know pronouns. In the beginning, God created them male and female. He told us how many genders there are. It's not confusing at all. Unless your thinking becomes just messed up. So he says, don't conform. Don't let the world pressure you to their way of doing things, the pattern of the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing. Watch this word. Then. When? Then. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. What if we take out what precedes then? You know, they say, what if you do conform to the pattern of the world? What if you're not transformed by the renewing of your mind? Then has something else after. He goes, then you will not know the will of God. You won't know what pleases God. You won't know what's good. You'll start calling what God says is good bad. You might call it bigotry or narrow-mindedness or condemnation or, well, you call it whatever you want, but you won't call it good because it won't look good to you. Why don't it look good to me? God says it's good, but it don't look good to me. Why is that? Because your thinking is wrong. Well, who's he telling me I'm wrong? He's God. That's who he is. He's the one who formed you together in your mother's womb from the very first cell, joining the next cell. That's when you became you. You didn't become you when you were 29 days old. If you don't know why I said it that way, go do your homework. You became you when that first spark of life entered. Conception, if you want to call it that. God knew you before that. The scripture proves it. Science backs it up. So, why do some people, I'm going to be real straightforward again, why do some people, I don't have a problem at all with abortion, and other people, it's like, that's first degree murder. Why is there such a difference in opinions? Why are we so divided on the issue? Because of the way we see things. And why do we see things the way we see things? Why, to me, does life begin at conception? And why, to someone else, they wouldn't have a problem with neglecting a baby who survived an abortion laying on a table for even up to 28 days? Why such a difference? Because one person may get their thought patterns, and remember, beliefs are going to be formed by thought patterns. They may get their thought patterns from the world. Whereas I get my thought patterns from like Psalms 137, before I formed you in the womb of your mother, I knit you together. Before I knew you, I had plans for you. You know, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet before he was born. When baby Jesus was in the womb of Virgin Mary, his mother, she was just barely pregnant, about 3 months pregnant. And she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was also pregnant. She was an old woman. She's pregnant. She's 6 months along, and when Mary walked in, not even showing, she walked in, the Bible says that that baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt, jumped, responded. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should visit me? The very first person to ever worship Jesus physically on this earth was the embryo John the Baptist. Today's message is not about abortion. It's not. If everybody had a biblical worldview, there wouldn't even know what I would say abortion. You go, what's that mean? You would have never even heard of it because you cannot have a biblical worldview and believe that abortion is all right. It's irreconcilable. It doesn't go together. Completely incompatible. I will just drop this real quickly, and I promise I'll drop it and move on. But when it comes time to vote, find out what each party stands for. Because you're not just voting for a person. Say, well, I like old Bob. He came to my house and brought cookies. Don't vote for Bob because he brought cookies to your house. Find out, don't even find out what Bob says he believes, because Bob might say he believes something because he knows you want him to say that. Find out what each party in writing stands for, and then see which of those best represents your worldview. Those two parties, they're not anything hardly at all that's the same about them. So I'm just going to encourage you to do this. It won't take you long. Do a tiny bit of homework, and you'll find out which one most represents a biblical worldview. Does that mean one party is Christian party and one party is the unchristian party? Nope. Neither one of them are Christian parties. Neither one of them are Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. You're only going to get two choices. You can write Jesus in on the ballot, but I can assure you they're not going to send him to the White House or the governor's mansion. You're going to have to choose. Primaries are next month. We're going to have to decide some of that next month, but we'll talk more about that later. But why would I choose one thing over another thing, whatever that thing is? The answer would be because of the way I see that thing, and the way I see that thing is going to be determined by how I think about it.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
But why would I choose one thing over another thing, whatever that thing is? The answer would be because of the way I see that thing, and the way I see that thing is going to be determined by how I think about it. So I need to be not conformed to the pattern of the world, but I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm going to tell you this, man, my mind is way different now than it was in 1990. It was younger then, but that's not what I'm talking about. There was a time in my life when the very subject that I've been talking to you about, I didn't even give it a second thought. Whatever, somebody don't want to have a baby, whatever. I didn't really ever even think about it. I can tell you this, I didn't have a biblical worldview. I couldn't even find my Bible if I had one. Now, did I believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Yeah, I believe that. Did I believe he died on the cross? Yeah, I believe that. I agree with that 100%. Had I ever heard that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting? Yeah, I heard that. How'd you feel about it? Oh, I agree with it. Notice I keep pointing to my head. I'm saying I agreed with it in my mind. I didn't agree with it in my life. You want to know why? Because almost everything I did disagreed with the way God says to do things. There's not one of us that's not ever sinned. We've all sinned. The Bible's clear about that. It says if you say you've never sinned, you're deceiving yourself. But man, you know, when your lifestyle just doesn't portray that you believe the Bible, then there has to be a disconnect somewhere. Something's broken. You say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't have any problem with any of that stuff on the agenda of people on the left side of the aisle. I don't have a problem with any of it. But I'm a Christian. It's like, well, you say you're a Christian, but what's your worldview? There's an interesting statistic I found. You ever heard of the Barna study group? They pulled the United States. In a nationwide study, only 2,033 adults. It's at random. Not church people. Some probably were church. Some weren't church. It's just this, that, and the other. Just random people. 2,033 people. And they ask them a series of questions to determine whether this person would have a biblical worldview. And they found out that only 4% had what this study group considered to be a biblical worldview. That means 96% of the people walking down the street didn't have a biblical worldview. 96% in America. You know, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The reason why our liberty and justice are being threatened, we seem to be so divided. You want to know why it's going on? Because we have fallen into a state of almost apostasy concerning biblical worldview. In other words, let me say it real plain. Most people don't actually believe the Bible's true. They may claim to be Christians. There are a lot of people in this nation claim to be Christians, but they don't live or believe as if the Bible's actually true. Now, I know that's probably not you. You probably wouldn't be listening to me. What I'm saying is this. Listen, none of us are completely arrived, so we need to continue to be transformed. But when we look around the world, don't hate anyone because of their beliefs, even if their beliefs are terrible. Don't hate them because of their beliefs. Understand that they wouldn't have those beliefs if they didn't have those thoughts. And the only one that can transform those thoughts is Jesus. Now, they have to cooperate. He doesn't just come and put the whammy on you. Woo, I'd like to pray. I wish he did, but he don't. They broke that same survey down and they asked this, are you a born-again Christian? And people said, yes, I'm a born-again Christian. I said, 4% of these people in whole, no biblical worldview. He said, well, I know that percentage of born-again Christians. People that identify as born-again Christians, that'd go way, way up, wouldn't it? I go, oh, yeah, it did. It went way, way up. It went from 4% to 9%. I'm going to let that soak in a second. Let me say it a different way. 91% of the people they ask, are you a born-again Christian? Yes, I am. They didn't agree with what the Bible says. They say, I'm a born-again Christian. Their worldview was not biblical. 91% of them. But what about, you know, different groups and this and that? You know, some churches teach the Bible more than other churches. Mainline Protestant, 7%. Catholics, out of all those people that identified as Catholics, they say, I'm a Catholic. They say, okay, let us ask you this. What's your worldview on this? Less than 0.5% of all the people that identified as Catholics had a biblical worldview. One half, like Joe Biden's a Catholic, by the way. Nancy Pelosi is a Catholic. Now, both of them have been threatened that they won't be able to receive communion because of their stance on some of the issues that the Catholic Church is staunchly opposed. Catholic Church is very pro-life, very pro-life. Let's pray it stays that way. I appreciate that very much about the Catholic Church, that they are pro-life. And I'm not condemning anybody, right? Can y'all feel the love? I know that even if somebody says, well, I believe Satan is God. I'm like, well, you only believe that because of the way you think. I'm not going to hate on you. I'm certainly not going to agree with you because I know better. But I'm not going to hate on you because I understand that you believe that because of the way you think. But if you really want to know truth, if you really want a hope and a love and a contentment that can satisfy that craving that you have on the inside, you're going to have to open your heart and mind to Jesus. Because he is the way, not a way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. God is willing to take you exactly how you are and transform your mind into how it ought to be. He will save you in your sin from your sin. If he waited for us to get clean, there wouldn't ever be one of us ever got saved. Come on. But if your salvation isn't changing you, then something's wrong. Here's what they asked these people to determine whether they had a biblical worldview. For the purpose of this research, biblical worldview was defined as believing, number one, that there is absolute moral truth. There's a whole world full of people right now that do not believe that there's such thing as moral truth. In other words, they say the truth is whatever you decide it is. If you went all over the country, over 95% of the people you're going to bump into do not believe that there's any such thing as absolute truth. Second thing they ask them, they ask about firm belief in six specific religious views. These views were, Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. Over 90% of the people they asked that did not believe it. They did not believe Jesus lived a sinless life. The Bible tells us plainly that Jesus lived a sinless life. He was tempted in every way, even as we are, and yet was without sin. So to believe that Jesus ever sinned is to absolutely contradict the Word of God and say that the Bible is a lie. You cannot have a biblical worldview and believe that Jesus sinned. I'm going to go one step beyond that. If Jesus ever did sin, then you're still lost. Because he had to be perfect in the keeping of God's law in order to pay the penalty for our sins. Otherwise, he would be just like us, exactly just like us, and we would still be lost. The Bible is clear about that subject. But then there are people like, man, I don't know. I mean, do you think anybody could really ever live on earth and not ever? You mean tell me Jesus never one time ever told a lie? Yes, that's exactly what I mean. He never one time told a lie. He was tempted to, but he didn't. How do you know that? The Bible says so. Well, I don't believe that. How do you know that he did sin? See, I, by faith, take the word of God as the truth. Someone over here says, well, I don't think the Bible is true. One of us is going to be right. I believe with all my heart, fiber, and being, I am right because I agree with the one who gave us life in the first place. But suppose I believe in God and worship him my whole life, and then I find out that he wasn't there. Well, but suppose you reject him your whole life and you wind up standing in front of him. Now you're in big trouble. If you're going to err, you might want to err on the side of safety. And that's no reason to give your heart to the Lord out of fear of punishment. But if I could say something like that and just get someone to entertain the thought that they're not God, and that maybe they ought to open their heart up to Jesus, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to bring others to Jesus. And you don't do that by just saying, well, whatever you believe is fine. I mean, now you're a nice person. I agree. You're a nice person. But if you died right now, you would spend an eternity in hell being condemned with people like Hitler, who's not a nice person. You see, how do you know Hitler went to hell? Well, he rejected Jesus, murdered 6 million Jews to prove it. I'm pretty convinced. Hell wasn't created for bad people. Hell was created to punish the devil, Satan, Lucifer, and the angels that followed him in rebellion to God. And then all those who reject Jesus automatically fall into following Lucifer. You see, what do you mean? Because the Bible says that when we were unsaved, we were all led about by the prince of the power of the air. Every one of us. There's only two sides of the fence on which you can fall. The side of God through the gateway of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, the only way, or on the other side. The Bible teaches us, biblical worldview again, the Bible teaches us that when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, that we're born again, made alive on the inside, and the Holy Spirit himself comes and dwells in us. That's why I don't need this to help me sleep at night. I don't need that to help me cope with anxiety. I've got everything I need, and it's found in him. Be inwardly transformed. If you want the outside of your life fixed, fix the inside. But you can't fix it yourself. The way you fix it is by bringing it to the one who made it. There's a manufacturer's recall going on right now. If you want the good life, do it God's way. Because look at the last part of this verse. Stop imitating ideals, opinions, of the culture around you. Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through total reformation of how you think. And this will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Somebody might be listening to me today and say, you know what, the life I have right now is not beautiful or satisfying. It can be. Jesus can fix that if you let him, you help him. I'm going to offer an opportunity in prayer in a minute to invite the Lord to renew our minds. We should probably all pray it. But the person who needs to pray it the absolute most is a person who's never even opened themselves completely up to Jesus as Lord. You might be listening and say, I need to surrender myself to Jesus. I really do need to think different. Why don't you pray with me then? A gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you this day. I believe your word. I need my mind transformed. I need to be renewed. I surrender myself to Jesus Christ. I surrender myself to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I commit myself to the reading and study of your word so that I can be your disciple and know the truth. So the truth can set me free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.